Welcome back to the Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is indie rock royalty. He just came through town with his band Selector, dubbed Narcotic. Chicago, give it up for Calvin Johnson. Selector Dub Narcotic is the latest project.
That's me.
Yeah, that is you. That's right. It's the latest project for the musician and founder of K Records, Calvin Johnson, the DIY champion who put Olympia, Washington on the indie music map. He's produced several albums. He's produced several musicians, including early albums from Beck and Modest Mouse. The legend of K Records was told in the documentary The Shield Around the K. And it's my pleasure to welcome musician and founder of K Records, Calvin Johnson, to the Download tonight. Calvin, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
I love Selector Dub Narcotic. Talk about this project before we get into. I want to get into the history of K Records, but
oh sure,
this project is one that's a. I love the combination, the indie rock and the funk, and I think it's the funk and the electronic that gets me. Where does the inspiration come for Selector Dub Narcotic?
Well, I've been doing it under different names. Dub Narcotic Sound System was
right.
A live band we operated for about 15 years. We played Chicago many times coming through here. But the people all fell away, and I still wanted to do something that had a beat and had people dancing. And I worked with this producer named Smoke M2D6, and he's just a dynamo. He works with a lot of the hip-hop artists in the Northwest, Seattle and Portland and Olympia and all around. So we collaborated on this record and got the beats together, and it was just a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun to make it happen.
Talk about your experience with Chicago. I mean, you've come here with a lot of different projects over the years. Talk about your when you get a chance to come to Chicago, what does it bring back when it comes to memories?
Mostly the cold. You know, I do, you know, 2002, I remember coming through here and with the microphones and Kayla from The Blow, and we did a show and at the Heaven Gallery, and afterwards all the people, let's all go swimming. And we all went to Lake Michigan and went swimming, and it was really exciting. And on that tour, I think we toured around the U.S. and we probably went swimming 8 or 9 times all around. But that was the only time we went swimming, and then really felt like taking a shower.
Yeah, that's usually the reaction to a swim in the lake. But I'm fascinated. K Records, of course, is legendary. And you started it back all the way back in 1982. Take us there. Take us to that time. And first off, why you started a record label?
Well, you know, I was working with a fellow who grew up in this area. His name is Bruce Pavitt, and he had a fanzine at the time called Sub Pop, Subterranean Pop, and he shortened it to Sub Pop. And he was from the Chicago area, and so he had a lot of connections to the Midwest. And he was really involved with independent artists out here. And I was from the Northwest, and I was really involved with Northwest artists. And we collaborated on the fanzine, and we did a lot of he wanted to cover just the Northwest and the Midwest. Hmm. But it covered actually all over the world. But that was his main focus. And I think that being in touch with so many interesting labels from Portland, Oregon, and from Cleveland, Ohio, and you know, Kansas, and it made me really feel like I wanted to contribute to that legacy that was forming then in like the 78 to 82 era.
Right.
And that's, I think that doing that and working at our radio station, KAOS, which is a non-commercial community radio station that we both worked at, we just saw a lot of independent releases coming through, and we were excited by them. We were excited by the ideas of independent labels, and we both wanted to do something like that. And we had actually done that with Sub Pop. We started out as a fanzine, but then it morphed into a cassette fanzine. And then the cassette fanzine later became, it had so many different, it was a radio show, it was a column, and then eventually it was a record label.
A lot of music fans will not know that a Sub Pop started as a fanzine and then to something else. Just the idea that it's all part of a culture, and it's all part of a DIY culture, and the record label is just part of the things that are done in a community when you're talking about independent art.
Yeah, we wanted when you say, why did you start the label? Well, we did radio shows. We did a fanzine. We were both playing music. To us, being in a band, running a record label, doing a fanzine, those are all the same thing. Taking control of the media and turning it back on itself and having fun with it.
I mentioned some of the early artists that came through, and there's tons that have come through K Records. But I think about that time, 1982, and we just had John Doe from X talking about the L.A. punk scene at that time down in Los Angeles. And then and on the East Coast for Pitchfork, the Feelies came through, and they were doing more of an indie rock thing on the East Coast. Talk about the concept of what kind of music was the Northwest producing, that K Records. What did you want the music to sound like coming out of the Northwest in 1982?
We were really into weird-ass pop. Like the Feelies are a good example. People that were making pop music that wasn't popular, but it was really exciting. So it was punk. There was, the Wipers, of course, were huge to us at that time. And there was also the weird art bands like the Blackouts. Portland was full of weird art bands. So all this, it all came together. It didn't have any one sound. There was a Northwest vibe, perhaps, but it was a lot of freaks and weirdos just doing their own thing.
What was the vibe? And I want to get to that, to the idea that there's sort of this classification of what we know to be Northwest music, rock music, grunge, things like that, which is different. But what was the vibe in the 80s, especially coming out of Olympia as opposed to Seattle?
It was fun. I think people were like, let's do something. Let's go with it. Let's just get a crazy idea and stay up all night and paint something and then maybe even paint your guitar. In fact, paint your guitar to the floor and then you have to play it upside down. Whatever works.
There you go. I don't know how that's
whatever doesn't work.
Yeah, whatever doesn't work.
Whatever doesn't work, you can turn it around and turn it into something that happens.
Do you find yourself, we're talking about the early 80s, do you find that same aesthetic in your life today? I mean, do you find yourself doing things where you're coming up with weird, out there kind of ideas, like painting your guitar to the floor? Is it the same aesthetic that drives you as a musician today?
The record label started, it's only been 35 years, and there's so much to do. And, you get an idea in 1982, and then suddenly in 2002, you realize you've only done one third of it, and there's so much more to do. So now here it is 15 years after that, and I feel like I'm just getting started. And that's why the album is called This Party Is Just Getting Started.
Just getting started. Calvin Johnson, my guest, the legendary DIY owner of K Records out of the Northwest, Olympia, Washington. He is also with his band Selector Dub Narcotic, which just came through Chicago. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. Calvin Johnson here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Calvin Johnson, my guest tonight on the show. His band, Selector Dub Narcotic, it just came through Chicago. It's got a new album out as well. Also, the legendary founder of K Records, the DIY champion, really, of independent music, punk music, indie rock, things like that that were coming out of Olympia, Washington in the 80s and 90s. You worked with early albums for both Beck and Modest Mouse and bands like that. What we know in the Midwest, especially the uninitiated music fan, is grunge music. We know it to be, if you think about, everyone wanted to be in Seattle in 1991, right? 1990, where you had bands like Mudhoney or Screaming Trees or Pearl Jam or Nirvana. And I guess I ask you, as a guy who was in that area and covered those bands early on, how much does history look at it and tell the right story? Was there truly sort of like this great thing happening in the Northwest with all these grunge bands coming out, or was there more to it?
That's a good question. I want to remember it the way I remember it. When you talk about Mudhoney, that's a fantastic band. They're still playing. I just saw them. I played a show at a festival with them about 2 months ago, and it was awesome. They're so fun. They have always been a fun rock and roll band. They definitely, it was like, hey, something's going on here. Definitely, everyone felt that because they were like a super group. They came out of the ashes of other groups that everyone liked. But there was so much going on besides that. You can point to something like the bands that are known for grunge and what their sound was and what it was. I think it was just one aspect of what was happening then. And there were so many bands that were doing fun things and, Room 9 and Young Fresh Fellows and just all these crazy bands from Seattle But there was all these other bands that weren't from Seattle. And now let's remember the Melvins. They're from Aberdeen. Screaming Trees. They're from Ellensburg. And Girl Trouble. They're from Tacoma. And I think that you had these bands that grew up outside of any major metropolitan city and had to figure it out for themselves and had to invent their own way. And that's, I think, where the most interesting music came from. And that's why, you know, the Melvins and Screaming Trees are still like bands that I revere.
Right. Well, Olympia too, right? The idea that that wasn't Seattle, it was a different scene. Was there any, animosity is not the right word. Was there rivalry between the two cities? The idea that the music scene that was happening where you were at and with K Records versus what was happening in Seattle?
Well, we're just one of many things that's going on in Olympia. Olympia's just always been a hotbed of activity. So you can't say Olympia is any one thing, just like you can't say Seattle is any one thing. But whereas you probably could say that in Ellensburg, the Screaming Trees were were the band, but we had a good relationship because Bruce had moved from Olympia to Seattle, and he started doing his radio show up there, and then a column in the monthly paper, and then it became a record label. So he was a focal point. So we were like best friends, and so we were connected in a lot of ways, and the bands that were really exciting in Seattle at the time, the U-Men. He put out their first record on his label before Bomb Shelter Records before he started the Sub Pop label. And I loved, I still think U-Men are like one of the best bands that came out of Seattle in the last 30 years. Yeah, so we definitely had we had a lot of connections between the two. And there was that period when Beat Happening first started when there was no all ages shows in Seattle. So a lot of Seattle bands like the U-Men, their first two shows outside of Seattle were in Olympia playing at our places. And Green River, a bunch of Seattle bands came down and played in Olympia because there wasn't any place for kids to see them up there.
You know, I think of all the big markets when it comes to American music, and I think of Chicago, and Chicago's very proud of the bands that come from here. I think of New York, of course, Atlanta, L.A. But there's something about Seattle where it seems like Seattle in the Northwest, that there seems to be music in the culture. And I don't mean like an industry like in Nashville, but music in the counterculture, music in the everything about it, where you want to go. If you go to Seattle, you want to go see remnants or memorabilia that was from music that was produced there. What do you think that is? Where does that soul come from the Northwest?
Well, in Portland and Seattle, these other cities I'm talking about, Aberdeen or whatever, the people that are making the music there, they're from there. The people that are making music there, that's where they're from. Now, if you talk about San Francisco, a lot of people, they moved to San Francisco.
Right,
they moved to New York to become
Even
famous,
Chicago, right,
to do something. Right. Whereas these people, they all grew up, you know, the Melvins grew up in Grays Harbor County, and that's where they made the music. And they never lived in Seattle. They never lived in Seattle. They lived in Grace. They lived in Aberdeen or Montesano until they moved to California. So it's really it's a native. I think it's a native. The soul that you're talking about comes from that native perspective.
You know, as an owner of a label, or you know, at K Records and everything in between, and a musician yourself, and a lot of different bands over the years. How do you balance that? How do you balance being an artist and being a businessman?
I decided that I don't want to be a businessman. That's why I'm out here on tour as Selector Dub Narcotic, because I just want to make music. I realized a couple years ago I'm not getting any younger. So I better go for it. So here I am.
Yeah. I think about K Records, and K Records will always be, for so many different music lovers, it's a place that is hallowed ground because of all the bands that came through and just the aesthetic that you kind of push forward. But you talk about you don't want to be a businessman, and there's been a lot of press in the last couple of years about some of the early bands. They feel like you owe money, and there's debts. Mm-hmm. You're selling off some of the property and things. Is that part of not wanting to be a businessman, the idea that this controversy around K Records
is
sort of blown
up? We want people to get to what's due to them, and so we are trying to organize what you might call in the business world liquidating our assets to try to pay off the people who the money rightfully belongs to. Yeah, it's never been a fun part of doing it, and so I realized that I should leave that to people who are better at it. than me.
35 years. You made that decision a couple years ago. What made you do that? Was it after 30 years of being the guy at K Records, were you just like, a light bulb went off, or you're just like,
I just felt my the music I wanted to make. I'm working on that Selected Dumb Narcotic album with Smoke was just so much fun, and I just realized this is what I really wanted to do all the time. Mm-hmm. I just want to play some fun music, and it's great to go out and everyone's dancing, and it's just really, it's what it's all about.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to run an independent record label at this day and age. And when you're talking about 2017, where the industry has changed, is that kind of in the back of your mind as well, about the idea that the world has changed around music, and it's a more difficult industry to maneuver?
What's beautiful about the industry or the music world right now is that music is so accessible. It's so wonderful. You know, when we did the fanzine or the radio show, it's like we're writing about this music that no one will ever hear. And that's why we turned it into a cassette fanzine, because it's like, well, we're going to put the music on the cassette so they're not only writing about it, they can actually hear what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's not even an issue anymore. You can hear immediately music that people make across the world.
Right.
And it's amazing. It's fantastic. And I think the fact that the streaming technology has allowed people to communicate so directly with each other, it's a beautiful part of making art in the year 2017.
Galvin Johnson in studio. The band Selector Dub Narcotic just came through town. One of the DIY champions, the legend, indie rock royalty, Galvin Johnson. You can see the legend. It's fascinating, too. The legend of K Records is in the documentary, The Shield Around the K. And I remember that back in the day. And it's fun to be able to look it up on YouTube, and there it was from 2000 back in the day. So it's good stuff. Galvin Johnson, I can't thank you enough for coming in tonight.
Yeah,
and,
I appreciate you having me here.
I see you crying, see the pattern, they come and go, leave you shattered. You shed for so many untrue, can you cry for a shadow? Can you cry for a heart crying out for you? Can you cry for a shadow? Don't deserve your priceless tears. Hear a whisper, fill your ears. A reflection of a love long due. Can you cry for a shadow? Can you cry for a heart crying out for you? Can you cry for a shadow? I cried for a few. Tears when you're crying for a shadow, when you're crying.